When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi guys, today we have a very special guest on our show. Not only is he a Paralympic ranked British athlete, but he has faced and overcome some great adversity with his health. Yet he continues to push on and inspire kids all over the country. Join us at the table today to discover what happened, how he managed to overcome these obstacles. So see you in a sec. Welcome back, guys. Today we have a special guest with us. His name is Haf, and he is a Paralympian athlete. Welcome on our show, Haf.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, totally. Welcome to our show.
So, Haf, how did you get into sports?
When I was a child, I had a stroke at age 5. The hospital, they said to me now that we can't do anything about it. So you have to do is keep the muscle loose. I did have, I started going to speech therapy. I had physiotherapy as well, where they used to tell me what to do, the exercises, what I used to do from my left side, left leg, left arm.
So it affected your speech as well?
Yeah, it did. So I used to go to speech therapy 3 times a week. But when I was at school, physiotherapy used to come out and see me.
So when you first had it, did you have no mobility on your left side, or was it limited? Or
I had limited mobility on that.
Okay.
At a young age. And nothing from there. I started doing a little bit of sport. Just doing normal exercises.
Like what?
Just strength and conditioning.
Oh, for your stroke, for the stroke. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And then speech therapy used to go, I used to spend about an hour and a half to 2 hours before I used to take my. So I started talking properly. And then what it was from there, I started developing a little bit. But they said that there's no cure or nothing like that, that, you know, it can cure the stroke.
And you never make a full recovery. So you just got to sort of live with it, yeah.
Got to live with it. But, you know, I always believe like that. Doctors always said to me now that if you use the left side, your brain will always occupy that.
Right, keep that moving, keep it busy, yeah.
Keep it moving. And if you don't, the brain will forget about your left side.
Oh, okay, that's interesting.
It was nothing there. I started using my left side. Used to do the exercise at home, what the physiotherapy used to give me. But the only thing was, my mum used to dress me when I was younger. And one time what happened was, at school, the physiotherapy lady said to my mum that don't dress him because as he gets older, he'll rely on you more.
Oh, so yeah, so you've got to train. You've got like a child retraining yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she always used to say to me that you got to dress yourself. So it took me time to develop things. There's always, if you do something, any exercise that you do, your muscle has a memory.
Yeah.
When you're younger.
I've heard of that, muscle memory.
Yeah. And then from there, I started, as I went older and older, I used to do things. Then my father always used to make me do some exercises at home. Mm. So I used to go in the park running with my dad. when I was a young age. And then he used to make me do, on the left side, on the left arm, he used to do quite a bit of exercise with me. And then one time when I was, then as I got older, started getting a bit of difficulties on the arm, left arm, using what it was.
What were the difficulties?
Difficulties were like saying I couldn't pick stuff, I couldn't lift stuff. Father used to say to me that you need to use the arm all the time to keep it going. He still says that to me till today.
So you carried on using it?
I carried on using it, but one, a few times I never used it, and they used to get weaker.
So you're a child, you have this stroke, you've lost mobility on your left side, pretty much. You've gained it back through years of exercise, strength and conditioning to some level. And then what sort of made you get into sports? Like, and remember, do you remember how old you were when you started thinking, oh, I want to do sports?
Well, when I used to go to college, right, I watched a boxing match, right, of Mike Tyson and Mike Tyson training. And I seen him one time, like, I seen him doing pull-ups, Mike Tyson is training, the what he used to do. And I said to my father, right, once, I said, Dad, right, that I can do that.
All right, okay. Right? So Tyson inspired you. Yeah. Go on, lad. Right, okay.
Dad said to me, like, one thing he said to me goes, listen, son, right, I'll give you anything you want if you could do pull-ups.
So he sort of challenged you?
He challenged me. Right, okay.
How old were you about then? Do you remember?
I was about 18.
Right, okay.
Right? And he said to me I can get, if you want, he goes, like, that's okay. He goes, listen, I'll make it easy for you. He goes, all you need to do is hang on to the bar, swing on the bar for about 5 minutes. And he goes, if you could do that, he goes, I'll buy you anything you want. He goes, do you want a brand new car? He goes, I'll get you a brand new car.
So before this, you never attempted a pull-up? No, you never even tried it?
No, never tried
it. So now you're going to try it. Are you going to try it with both hands? Yes. Your weak side and your normal side, right? Okay.
Right? And I said to him, I can do it. He goes, there's a way of doing things, right? But he goes, you don't need to do pull-ups. He goes, if you swing on it 5 minutes, if you hang on it.
So start off slow,
He goes, I'll buy you a brand new car that I'll show you. He goes, I'll get you insured as well. I passed my test and UDI, and I was sort of person. I loved driving.
I
loved sports cars. And he said, I'll get you anything you want out of shoulder. He goes, we can go today, go there.
So did you have a bar at your house at that time?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had a bar in my garage. It was there anyway. And I never used it. Dad put it up for a long time.
So what did you do first time then? Did you just hang? Did you try and do the...
So what he did, he had put a chair underneath there. And he'd go over and get on the chair. And what he did, he tied me up there with two arms.
Tied you up?
Tied me up there. Both arms.
To help with the grip?
Yeah, help with the grip.
Right, okay.
On both sides. And he said to me, he goes, listen, I had that. And a few, two rooms down, everybody's in the house. So he goes, I just want you to keep it quiet. And he goes, I had that 5 minutes. So he just said to me, goes, I'm just going to keep you.
Just hang.
Hang for 5 minutes. And he goes, I'll give you what you want.
Can you remember how that was?
That was very hard.
Because that was the first time.
First time in my whole entire life I did that. And I thought I could do it. I had the eager to do it. But
did you actually try and pull yourself up and do a pull-up, or were you just...
No, I didn't do it.
Hanging was hard enough.
Hanging, right. So what he did, he tied me up there. I said, why are you tying me up there? And he goes, it's just that, I know what you like.
Yeah.
He goes,
you're going to give up.
Yeah.
So if you weren't tied, it helped the grip, but I think it also helped you stay.
My left hand didn't have grip.
On the bar.
On the bar, right. Grip on the bar. So he tied both of them up there. Then he said to me, listen, I'm going to close the door garage. And I'm going to get going. Soon as he took the chair out of underneath.
Oh, so he took the chair off. So you're actually properly hanging on your body weight. Okay, okay.
Right? Took the chair out, and I was, when I started swinging, I didn't feel nothing for about 20 seconds. After that, I started feeling pain on the left side.
Because, it's not used to it. Yeah, it's a weaker side.
I started feeling nails, like somebody's like poking me nails on the left side.
Yeah.
He didn't leave me there. He just stood there. And he kept showing me the time. He goes, listen, son, this is only, it's not been a minute yet.
Yeah, so he's just encouraging you.
He goes, if you want something, you got to work for it.
Oh, so he's teaching you hard work, yeah.
He goes, otherwise nothing comes free. Nothing's free on the plate.
Wow. Yeah. So that's where it started.
That's where it started. And I didn't even last, I didn't even last over a minute.
Yeah.
I was sweating. I was red in that.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Now you do weighted pull-ups as well.
Yeah. Now I do a lot.
You can do a lot more. So
a lot more. So then everything from there started.
So then, how long since that's you hanging, and when did you attempt your first pull-up from then?
I started doing it when I was about 20. Started about doing it. It took me 2 years to do it.
2 years, wow. 2 years
to get it. The left arm, I had to build it up.
Build it up, yeah.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. It's a good story to hear. I mean, I've got questions regarding your younger days. During your school period, especially at school, when someone sees a disability, they don't know how to react. I mean, I'm giving an example here, for example. Bullying is not really, it's not good. So when they see your disability, how did that improve, or how did you react to so-called bullies? How did you defend yourself, or, what was your experience? We just want to know how could you have dealt with that situation?
I went to the school I used to go to is a special school. So I used to get bullied at school.
So special school, did they all have some sort of disability?
They all had a disability at school.
What, would they still pick on you though?
I used to get picked on. Other people as well used to pick on me. But things that I used to come home, I used to say to, I can't, once I remember I got picked on from one of the twin brothers there. And they used to pick on me just over a joke. They used to sit and, laugh at me the way I was, with my left arm and that. And I never used to say anything. He used to hurt me. But I came home and I remember I was telling my dad that, this is what's happened to me. My dad, what he did, he said he went to school with me. He had a word with the teacher, and he said I was their teacher. And he said this is what's happening. And from there, it got sorted out for a while. But then after that, it started happening again.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then what I did, I used to keep it to myself. I never used to say, because I knew that. If someone, if my dad did it once, I was scared, if I tell him again, he'd probably turn around and say he'd probably turn around and say to me, why are you telling me we sorted it out once, this and that? So I used to keep it to myself.
Yeah, kids can be cruel, but yeah. Especially if you've got disability or something obvious. Yeah. Thing is, even if you don't have disabilities, yeah. People that go to normal schools yeah. face bullying, they always yeah. find something, don't they? Yeah.
So that's what happened. When I was younger, that's what happened. And then what happened was when I finished high school. I didn't finish high school, half of it. I left high school, and then I'm the sort of person, I used to stay at home. I never used to go in school, I used to skip school.
Because of the bullying?
Yeah, because of the bullying. Okay. Basically, I used to go to school, but meaning I never used to go inside school, I used to stay outside school.
So you used to skive?
He's Sky, yeah.
Saul was a Skyver. He's yeah. Sky all the time.
Yeah.
No, not all the time.
Yeah.
No, I Skyved a bit, yeah.
I used to stay outside. Right. And then what happened was I got to know one or two people like that who got to know me, and they became friends and that. They used to protect me. So I used to be all right with school.
To help you out.
Yeah.
That's good. So how did you get into sports? I think long jump was the one that you used to compete for, is that right? And I think, do you still compete, yeah?
You're still racing to that today.
Right. So how did you get into that then? How did that start?
I left college. I applied for a few jobs, and I couldn't get a job anywhere. I did over 1,000 CVs.
Wow.
To different places. Not in sport. I did a CV in library. I did a CV working in since.
Do you feel like you were discriminated against because of your disability?
Disability. I didn't get a job for 2 years. I stayed off. Then what happened was one time it was I went to go see this career advisor, and she said to me that you're interested in sport, and she goes, I'll make an appointment for you to go and have a look at this famous football place. That's well known in in UK.
Yeah, football club.
Football club.
Right. Okay. We don't want to mention it, but so it's quite a famous one. Yeah, yeah. You're right.
So I went there, and I had a word with a woman, and she said to me,
this is the woman at the football club.
Football club. She said to me that what we can do. I was interested. I used to say to her, I like to do a bit of sport and that. and I want to get into something that I want to learn. She goes, well, I've got someone who can help you what you want to be. But she goes, like, first, you got to do me a favor. I said to her, what's that? She goes, well, the thing is, because you got a disability, she goes, we have kids here that who are disabled, just like yourself.
Right.
And she goes to me, like, that what you can do is if you could do volunteering for me.
Oh, okay. Like, wonderful.
Once or twice a week. From there, what I did, I started doing a bit of volunteering through that woman. And then once I did the volunteering, got to know a few people from there.
Right.
And then I said to him, I want to work here. He goes, you can't. He goes, your DPS gone through. He goes, if you want to work here, he goes, you got to go on a course. Right? If you pass that course, he goes, they'll take you on. But they already know you. He was 6 months down the line when I did
so this was for a job at the football club?
Yeah.
As well as you training? Well,
training, yeah.
And what were you training for?
I was just training for just as a sprinter.
Okay.
Right? And they said to me, that's how the man who I was doing volunteering with, he put me in a course. So they paid, football club paid for my course. Because I did
to work with the disabled children?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Because I did a volunteering, in return, they gave me something. Right. Okay. They said that I will pay for your course. I remember when I passed my course, I went on a course for 3 months. I was working volunteering with kids at the football ground, like I said. That's where I met a coach called Keith. And I was watching him, how he was coaching the group. And I asked him once, I said to him, approached him. I said to him, is there any chance I could join your group? I like the way you train people. He said to me he goes, I don't take people just like that. He goes, you have to do a little test for me.
Okay.
Yeah. And I said to him, what's the test? And he goes, well, the test that you got to do for me is a bit of strength work. And I asked him, I said, what type of strength work do you need to do? He goes, I'll give you a little program. He goes, I'll go through it. He goes, in 2 weeks' time, if you can prove that to me, he goes, I'll let you in the group. He goes, otherwise, he goes, I'll just guide you to go to a different group.
But you really wanted to go in his group?
I wanted to go to
a good coach.
He was a good coach. I seen his group, like how he was.
Right.
And how he's training people.
So he gave you this test, this program?
He gave me this test for 2 weeks. And strength work.
Was it difficult?
It was struggling a bit. I was struggling. And I didn't have no experience, no nothing back then, how things work.
Okay.
And I asked him, I said to him could he help me out a little bit? He helped me a little bit. And then he said to me that, he helped me, he said to me, he goes to me, is that thing is, he goes, you're good. But he goes, for sprints, he goes, you won't be that good. He goes, I do another option. Right, but I said to him before he was going to say something, I said, I don't want to go to anybody else. He goes, I'm not going to put you to anyone else. He goes, I'll take you in my group. But he goes, you have to do the jumps. He goes, if you do
the long jump.
The long jump. And triple
so he thought you'd be better at the long jump than sprinting.
Yeah.
Okay.
He goes, you still do running.
Yeah.
But he goes,
short burst, isn't it?
Yeah, he goes, you do long jump. I started training with him. And then after that, when I started developing, I did face difficulties as I went along with training. And then what happened was, he said to me that, you know, we should find out how you are at the trials. So he took me on the trials.
What trials?
Just trials for the GB squad.
Oh, for the Great British squad?
Great British squad. And then I went out to the trials. I didn't make it through because I didn't perform very well. And he said to me, that you still need work doing on your body. When your leg is on, your left leg, your left arm.
Right.
And I said to him, okay. And he said to me, we can work on that, that's no problem. But he goes to me, it'll take a while to get there. And then as I was training, my health went a bit down, meaning I was started feeling unwell.
Okay. Was this all of a sudden? Was it a few days, a few weeks, a few months that your health's going down?
It was after about 2 years.
So it took two. So it slowly started going down. Your health.
Yeah.
Okay.
I started feeling high blood pressure, tiredness, and I felt vomiting most of the time when I was at work, I was training, even at home as well. I used to sleep a lot, but I was always feeling tired.
Right. And you went to the doctors, what did they say?
And I thought it might be something that I had something to eat or something like that. But when I went to the doctors, they turned on, he did some bloods. He said, we'll have a look and see what's wrong. He did some bloods and I didn't think much of it at the time. I thought it might be just, you know, it might be low on iron or something, you know.
Yeah.
How you basically, or I must have had something to eat.
So what was the blood test results then?
Blood test results came back and they said to me, the GP rang me up and he said to me after 4 days later, he said to me, results are back, and he asked me, he goes, your kidneys look a bit weaker because your kidney functions dropped down. And I said to him, it can't be. And he goes, are you feeling all right? And I said to him, I feel all right, but I feel tired. And this, I feel tired and weak. And he said to me, it must be mistaken, right, in the blood result and blood system. And they go, right, is there any chance you come back and do another one? And I said to him, okay. So that evening, I went back to do another blood sample. I didn't think of it. Like I said, I didn't think of it much. I didn't think that I had this problem.
So whilst all this was going on, were you still training? I know you're feeling more tired than that, or did you stop training now?
No, as this was going on, I was still training, but I was having a Red Bull.
Oh, so you're just trying to give you energy,
energy,
right?
Drinks. I was having quite a bit of energy drinks. The energy drinks, I didn't think of them as well much.
Okay, so you went back to the doctor, and what did they say?
Like I said, GP, that referred me, I went to the hot, he referred me to the specialist, transplant people, specialist kidneys people. And I went to go see them. They said to me, you need to go on dialysis. They said to me, your kidneys are really bad, right? And they said, we can, you know, put you on dialysis. I said, yeah. The dialysis they put me on, I was a
PD. So were you restricted on, like, certain foods then? And
what? Restricted on fluid.
Fluid?
Yes. Couldn't have so much. I only could have a cup of tea, water. Everything.
So all these energy drinks you've been having, they've completely stopped now?
They've completely stopped.
They're probably added to the... Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and then I went to the dialysis. I got dialysis done for about 6 to 8 weeks dialysis. And
at home or in the... Did you see, of course?
Dialysis done in the house.
You had that machine with you all the time? Yeah.
Machine, you have to be all the...
Quite big, aren't they? I've seen, they're like a washing machine size. Yeah. Quite big, aren't they?
They're quite big. Overnight, you used to do dialysis 8 hours on the machine.
What is dialysis, if for those that may not know? What happens? What is
dialysis? You get two types of dialysis. You get hemodialysis, one of them, like, cleans your blood, right? And that you have to go to the hospital 3 times a week. Then the other one, cleans your bladder.
And which one did you have?
I had the one that cleans the bladder.
So you have to put that machine on 8 times?
8 hours overnight, every day.
Where'd you plug in?
They do a surgery, they take a pipe, they put a pipe towards your bladder, right? Coming out your stomach.
So you connect that machine to that pipe?
Yeah.
I can't imagine we've got much sleep then, innit?
If you're sleeping, machine does the job overnight.
Yeah, but... it must affect, because I've had, what do they call it? Is it a cannula? Catheter. When you're, I can barely sleep with that. All right. How long were you on that for then?
I was on for like eight weeks.
Right.
Okay. And then I had a transplant. And once I had a transplant, I was bed resting for 9 months.
9 months, yeah, obviously, yeah. Major operation, right. Yeah.
And then when I was resting, my weight went up to 17 stones.
Wow, what's your natural? Wow, that's it. What's your natural weight before that?
Before that, I was 8.5 stones.
8.5.
Yeah,
more than double. Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
I was just eating and sleeping. I got used to so much that I used to get up in the morning, brush my teeth, have something for breakfast, then watch movies in bed and sleep through the day sometimes. But a lot of times, I was just like lying in the bed.
Because you're still recovering from your operation.
Yeah.
And are you still restricted on food, or were you, or is not as much?
Not anymore.
No.
I tend to not have food, right? Have like fizzy drinks or Red Lamp.
You just try to eat clean.
Eat clean.
Yeah. Yeah. But you don't, it's not like when you went to dialysis, you were banned, you can't have this much water and so.
No.
So
not okay. Of them anymore.
Okay. Wow, 16 stone.
16 stone. And then I remember after my 9 months, I went back to work and the work people used to call me a pig stomach.
But your coach?
Yeah, they always say to me, like, what's happened to you? You know, you're a different man.
Yeah.
But when you was
because you double your weight, man.
That's what it was. And nothing I asked, and then I asked Keith, my coach, I said to him, I want to get back into training. And he said to me, it'll take a while because the operation has put you back.
You say you're well by that, yeah.
So I said, I still want to do it. And he said to me, okay, he said to me, I can't get you in the group. He goes, like I did before, he goes, I'll give you a program to work on.
On your own, so because you're not in shape to be in the group anymore.
Because you're not in shape, and because you could do something.
Because they were the athlete team for Great Britain, were they? Paralympic athlete team. Okay, so you're not in anywhere near that shape now.
No.
So did you start losing weight because you wanted to get back on there, or is it just you didn't like having that much weight, or is it both?
I didn't feel. I used to feel, you know, embarrassed and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, being overweight.
Also, you must have felt like tired easily as well because, you know, carrying all that weight around. It's like almost double your natural weight.
I like more food than anything at the time. So it was all right. And I got a program to work on my own. And I used to do work. I used to train at my own time.
That's a lot of weight to shift. So, how long it took you to shift? And maybe some tips for someone that's listening that might be trying to lose weight that you can give because you shifted pretty much half your weight off. So how long did that take you?
It took me 3 years to bring the weight down.
3 years, back three to years eight, to bring, yeah, your normal weight.
Yeah, you know.
Okay.
I started off walking. I used to walk around 200-meter laps. So I used to walk around. Started off 20 times. Then I went up to 30 times.
This is daily, yeah?
Daily, yeah. Every day. Went up to 50 times. Went up to 80 times walking around. And then I used to do walk a half a lap, jog a half a lap.
Right,
slowly develop myself. Then I went to jog a half a lap, right? Sprint a half a lap.
Slow progression.
Slow progression. And then after that, I went to do, I was struggling under plyometrics.
What's plyometrics?
Plyometrics, hopping on one leg, bump my box drops, right? Jumping over the hurdles. I was struggling. But it's all kinds of group that I had, right? They were really nice. So they used to help me out. They used to be like, saying,
nice.
You know, come on, let's get in there, help you out. They used to help me quite a bit to develop in training. And I still used to eat less. I used to have, it was a habit of eating I had.
How did you break that habit?
Breaking the habit.
Because Sol's got a habit of eating as well. We're trying to break his habit.
You're the mortal one, bro.
I'm not the mortal one, bro. I'll tell you that much. I've got a sweet tooth, but yeah, sorry.
It's just that your mind, when you got a training program to do, you're scared of eating. Because you know when you eat that, you ain't going to get to train. It's a program that makes you just running, that you do plyometrics, that you do that. Your leg get worn down, you get tired. So I used to just have a lot of porridge.
So all this food, so you've been 9 months now in bed, just stuffing your face, just eating, and now all of a sudden you've gone back to your coach, you want to, you know, lose weight, you want to eventually get back on the team, so you're doing your little exercises, which is walking, running, etc. But food wise have you just stopped eating all that food altogether? Have you cut it out gradually? How have you done that side of it?
I cut off a lot of fattening food.
Like what?
I used to have a lot of Swiss rolls, cakes. I used to have a lot of crisp packets. I used to love it.
It's all the snacks and sweet stuff.
Yeah, I used to love them, but I was cutting them all off. And then I used to have a lot. But when I was started training, I used to have a lot of porridge. I used to have a lot of fruit.
Oh, so I think that's what you did. You replaced it.
Yes.
So because you're training, you're going to get you more hungry because you're running, you're exercising.
Yeah.
And instead of having junk food, you're having healthy food.
Healthy food. So I used to have a lot of fruit. I used to love fruit. I still love fruit a lot. I used to have smoothies. Things that give you energy and things that help you to lose weight.
That's interesting. So you went through all that. What made you decide to carry on with training and not give up? Because I think that would be really hard.
It's the passion like that you see in a group where people can do things and you can't. And I seen the passion where other members of the group that I were training, and that made me train. And also it made me train. It's like saying, I thought, so if I work here, and the facility that I work in, I basically is free for me as part of the staff. So I thought, well, I might make use of myself. And I did. And watching others made me more confident in myself to train harder.
So you mentioned passion. Did you intend to compete again?
I did in my mind, right? I was like, I want to compete, I want to race. I want to see the training I do, what kind of a level I'll be at. But there's no point training and you'll never find out what you're good at. So I said to him, right, my weight's dropped down and I'd like to go to a competition.
Who's this you're saying it to?
I said to a coach. He said to me, one thing he said to me was that your weight's come down, but he said to me one thing, he goes, you'll never compete for the rest of your life because the transplant that you had, it set you back. He goes, you'll never be good as what you were. And that got me more eager. It got me very angry from inside. Then I used to be on my own at home. I used to think, like, how can I overcome my problems? But someone saying that to me, like, there's a way that you can do things.
Yeah. Because they're saying it, where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah, there's a way of doing that. So what I did, I used to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, go down to the stadium at 6:30. And the things I used to struggle on, like, there was nobody around. I used to just put headphones on. And I used to practice on things I didn't know, like, for about an hour. How to develop things. And I did develop at the end. And when I got there, I went to the competition. When I developed myself, I got overcome difficulties to get to the side.
I have the tiger right there.
Setbacks happen many times in life. Many years went by. And once what happened
was... So you kept trying, you didn't give up.
But the thing was, in my mind, I knew, if I don't do it, I'll be nobody. I want to show people what I can do. Show where I am. So as the time gradually moved on, I started developing. And then once I got a phone call saying to me, like, how would you like to go to the trials? And how you
are. Which trials?
Paralympian trials.
Okay.
Right, see, like, if you can develop, right, see if you can make the jump.
This is because you slowly kept showing improvements, isn't it? Yeah.
And then I approached by my coach, Keith. He said to me that you know, GB want you to, you know, compete in the trials and see how you go from there. I said, yeah. And what happened was I went to the trials. It's a bit of experience. When you go to the trials, like, you learn a few things like that is, you know, there's people out there who have more experience than you, what you are.
Yeah,
but you're not that experienced. So I went to trials. First time I went to a big competition in trials. I had 6 jumps to make. Out of the 6, I only needed to make the 1 jump. So I kept failing. I failed about 4 jumps. And one of the jumps, like, I made the jump, but it wasn't that good. But on the last jump, right, I did make the jump. I made it through the trial, and that's when GP turned around and said to me, "Is you're good, but we'll see if you can compete for us in the national competitions, and if you get a silver from there, I will take you on for the Paralympians competitions, international competitions." And I went to the national competitions. I made the jump, and that made me rank number 1 in the UK.
No way, number 1?
Yeah, number 1.
No way.
What was your jump time or whatever it is?
My jump was 3.80 meters, that made me rank number 1. And then, but that was in the UK, made me rank number 1. Not international.
But nationally, you were number 1.
And in the national, I was rank number, I think it was 10 or 11.
International or national?
International.
You're number 10 or 11 internationally.
International, I've ranked number 11.
But number
UK,
one.
UK, I've ranked number 1.
Okay. Right. So how long is this then? So from your transplant to this jump that you made now, where you're ranked number one?
5 years. Six years. Constantly, I used to train regular.
Yeah. Hard work does pay off.
Yeah. My weight started gradually coming down, started feeling healthy and fit. Because I was training and as I was competing in competitions, got selected, the team, GB team, and I got international competitions.
Yeah, obviously, because if you're ranked number one in the UK, then
And as I was going to the international competitions, I was just about to go for them when the COVID kicked in.
Oh, God, yeah. Don't start on that. We've got a whole episode on that one, haven't we? Yeah.
So as the COVID kicked
in. Yeah, we do.
Yeah, so unfortunately, COVID happened. Half the world shut down. All this effort. So now you've stopped. The world stopped. So what did you do now?
I started option B was I've started to do the learn about therapy, sports massage therapy, what I do at the moment. I went as the lockdown came on, I went to do a course that therapy, sports massage therapy. People I have problems with their joints, backs, right? People have problems, a lot of problems with the movement on their neck. I learned a lot from there. I went to do the course, and as I passed the course, I did got clients.
So you're qualified now as a
sports massage
therapist.
Yeah.
So you deal with injuries or what?
A lot of people with injuries, like people have joint problems. I could talk about people with backs, anything that they have a limited movement.
Is it like physio?
Physio, yeah, like more like physio. So I do work alongside towards the football ground where I work with them as well.
Oh yeah, so you work with the football club.
Yeah.
What's a sort of common problem people come with you? Is it back or?
A lot of people come with me just when they have a back problem or they have pain in their ankles or feet pain.
So, there's any tips you can give to someone that may be going through or might have a minor one or even to avoid certain injuries?
I set a program, I do my 8 to 10 weeks program where they do a lot of rehab work, make the joints a bit, you know, when your muscles were, they never used them in their life, right? To develop it, and then joints there where they never made movements, so I could do therapy on them, and we'll see how what they do. So every week when they come back to me, they do develop a little bit, but at the end, the people I have therapy on, they do develop a bit, and that's when they, you know, be my regular clients.
So could you give any tips? So for example, if anyone's suffering for back pains, any tips that you can give?
For back pains, like, so if you lie down on the floor flat, if you do you raise your legs and you cycle your legs like you're riding a bicycle, that's one of the tips I can give you. That's a good back exercise. And the other one is not sit-ups won't be a good idea. The other ones is like if you put a hot water bottle at the back when you're in your bed on your back. Sometimes you get patches, hot heat patches. They're good for your back as well.
Because they warm up the muscle, isn't it?
They warm up the muscle. But mostly, you need someone to do the therapy for you. That will just ease off the muscles, relax the muscles. That will ease the pain a little bit from the back.
Thanks for that. I think that should help out some of our listeners out there. So it's not been an easy journey for you. And I believe you're still on medication. What positive advice can you give to others out there?
I can say to people, right, keep on going if they make a movement, meaning if they're walking or, you know, everyday walk, or if they take their dogs for a walk, that'd be a good idea. Eat healthy. Like I say, if they eat very healthy, they can, right, because, you know, anything, as you get older, the internals get worn down. But if you're walking, if you're jogging, that's good. Even if you got a running machine at home, work on something at home. Do little exercises, keep your muscles, joints, you know, everything healthy. Never give up, right, on anything. Just keep on doing something. Even if you have kidney problems, anything like that, always do something that you're making a movement on, meaning walking or any exercise will be good. But make sure you eat healthy.
Keep progressing. Because you turned, like say, you blew up to 16 stones. You could have stayed there.
Yeah,
but you chose not to.
No.
You chose to better yourself.
So what we've gathered is that keep pushing yourself. Don't give up. That's the outcome.
Well, pretty much. Right, we're approaching the end of our show. Now, if someone wants to find out more about yourself or wants to connect with you, where can they find you?
people want to find me, they can find me on my website. My website's called www.halfathletics.uk. I'm also on Facebook as well, Sport Half Sports Massage Therapy, on Instagram as well, and I'm on Twitter as well. I don't know if some people like going on Twitter or someone called people got an account with Twitter.
What's your Twitter handle?
Twitter handle is Half Athletics.
Yeah, we'll try and link these into the episode bio as well.
I'm going to do a special offer for all you people who are listening out there. If you quote this code NSN45, you will get a discount by £5, and my normal price is £50.
Right, okay, so let's get this right. So anyone that visits your social media preferences, websites, and so on, all they need to do is quote NSN45 and they'll get an hour session for £45 instead of £50. Yes?
That's right.
Okay, that's good to hear. So the £5 you got left over, go grab yourself a burger then after your hour session.
Yeah, treat yourself. Just as long as you work it off. Right, once again, thanks for coming on, and thank you guys for listening. I hope you got some value out of this episode. We'll see you next week for another great episode. Until then, take care and bye-bye.
See you next week, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.